It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Emmy Award winner, DraftKings Network NFL analyst, and hopefully our friend, Trey Wingo. Good afternoon, sir.
You are correct on all fronts. How
yes.
are we, guys?
Now, I know we normally talk Cowboys right out of the gate, but I got to ask you this.
Sure.
What the hell is wrong with the Jets?
People have been asking that since 1969.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, think about this, guys. I want to be clear. I'm not saying Robert Saleh is a great head coach. I'm not even saying he's a good head coach. But let's just run through some logistics here, right? You lose Sunday in London to fall to 2-3, where your quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, throws 3 interceptions, including a pick six that was the deciding margin of points in the game, as well as the game-sealing interception when they were driving for what looked like a potentially go-ahead touchdown. So look, that's why you lost. Let's just be honest about it. This is why you lost. So on Monday, CBS Sports reports that Robert Saleh, the head coach, was thinking about firing Nathaniel Hackett, who everybody knows is Aaron Rodgers' guy. And then Monday night, Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers talk. Yet Woody says they didn't talk at all about the firing of Robert Saleh. Tuesday, Robert Saleh is fired. Not only is he fired, guys, but he's escorted out of the building by security. What is he taking? Pencils? A laptop? What is he doing, right? Then Wednesday, Aaron goes on the Pat McAfee show and says he had nothing to do with it, and he resents the implications that anybody would assume that he had anything to do with the firing of Robert Saleh. When, after a loss earlier in the year to Denver, he was asked a question about Robert Saleh maybe saying we need to cut down on the hard count, and that's why the penalties were there. And that's a legitimate point that Aaron made. It's like, well, maybe we'll hold people accountable. But when you say that to the press, instead of talking to your coach about it, basically what you're doing to your head coach is you're cutting his legs out from under him. You're basically saying, shut up. I'm running the show here. When you say that, that's what you're doing. So after all of that, what happens today? Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach, who, by the way, everyone's saying they love him, they rave about him, he's a player's guy, all the things they said about Robert Saleh, let's just be clear. And if he was that great, why wasn't he given a 3-year contract? Why is he just the interim? What's his first move? To strip Nathaniel Hackett of the play-calling responsibilities and replacing it with Todd Downing. Now, I find that fascinating because this whole sordid tale was reading like Aaron was trying to do whatever he could to keep his guy, and the new guy said, yeah, we're not doing that. So I respect Ulbrich on that, but I'm sure that that is not what Aaron Rodgers thought what was going to happen.
And I'm sure he won't be mad at all about this then, since he said that
He's not a guy... No, he's not a guy that's sullen or holds a grudge or anything like that. That's not who he is in any way, shape, or form.
So you think they're going to turn that thing around there?
Here's the thing that I find hilarious. They fire their head coach when they have a Monday night home game against the Bills, who have lost 2 straight games and have looked terrible in doing so. If you win that game, you're 3-3. And you are in first place in your division. What other organization fires their head coach in this situation? Especially when It's the first time in Woody Johnson's multiple decades as an owner he's fired a head coach in season. To quote Kevin Costner from the movie JFK, "I simply find your story not believable."
I love it, man. We're talking with Trey Wingo right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm curious, for the Chiefs, their red zone struggles, is it a sign that they can still get even better, or do you view it at all as maybe the thing that could take them down in the playoffs?
Well, I guess the way I would answer that question is, at what point last year, outside of the middle of October, did we at any point say, wow, the Chiefs look like the team to beat this year?
Yeah, that's true.
The Chiefs look like they are steamrolling. They limped through the end of the regular season. They lost games against Philadelphia at home. They lost a game against Buffalo at home. They somehow lost to the Raiders at home on Christmas Day, where they held the opposing quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, without a completion after the first quarter. Patrick Mahomes turned it over twice in the span of 15 seconds. That led to two touchdowns for the Raiders. At no point last year did the Chiefs look like they were the best team in football until they hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. I am going to be the last man out on the planet on the Kansas City Chiefs, because all they do is win. It's not pretty. It's a little ugly. It can be frustrating at times, but all they do is win. That's 11 straight wins, including playoffs, for the Kansas City Chiefs. They know how to win games. When it's, for lack of a better term, when it's nut cutting time, they know what to do. And that game should have been a blowout Monday night. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster pulled a Kadarius Toney. He turned a perfectly thrown pass into an interception. I mean, that's another 7 points. Then we're talking 33-13. It's a total blowout. So I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine. Kareem Hunt is acting like it's 2017.
Yeah.
100 plus yards. Juju had 7 catches for 130 yards. Travis Kelce, second game, very productive. I will just say this, doubt the Chiefs at your own peril.
Trey Wingo joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And by the way, Kevin, I don't ever doubt the Chiefs either. That's one of those things I kind of stick to there. So Andy Reid's a really good coach.
He is.
Perfect pairing with his quarterback, and it's been that way since they've been working together this entire time. The Cowboys get the win on Sunday night. It was ugly. It was not a fun win for any of us Cowboys fans.
But like the Chiefs, when they had to, they made the play to win the game.
That's true.
And that's where we walked in Sunday morning, because I don't like going on the road and then being like, well, it wasn't pretty. If you go win on the road, I'm pretty happy about that, especially whenever it's A, against New York, it was a division opponent.
Yep.
And then B, it's against the Steelers in that type of environment. That's a significant step for this Cowboys team, right?
I would agree. And, they had a -3 turnover differential?
Yes.
They still won the game?
Yes.
You know how rare that is in the NFL? Like, that's almost impossible. It's so funny. People get all up in arms about, what did CeeDee Lamb say to Dak Prescott on the sidelines? And Chris Collinsworth certainly didn't have, I'll let you read your own. I think he just said jump ball.
Right? Yeah, he did. He did. That's been confirmed.
Hey, jump ball. I mean, like, it's what are we doing here, What I'm curious as to what is the actual rush defense of the Dallas Cowboys this year.
Exactly.
Is it the unit that we saw the first two games that were absolutely run through with ease, or the last three games where they have really, really settled in? So which run defense are we going to get? Because I will tell you, the Lions can run it. Okay, the Lions can run the rock, and they have a two-headed monster. And they know how to do that very, very well. This will be a huge test for that Dallas defense, and they're still going to be missing some key people.
I think you're really spot on there, because they're going to be going into the bye figuring out whether are we going to be back towards the bottom fourth of the league, or do we have a shot to have an average run defense based on this game. So I think that you're definitely right about that. For the Lions in the past game, I know this is an odd question because he just had the perfect game, but it does seem like it's been a slower start for Jared Goff, especially when you look at some of the turnovers. Is that a fair way to put it thus far?
I think so, but I'm not concerned about Jared. What I love about the Lions is that they know who they are, right? They have the Ravens know who they are. They have an identity. The Chiefs obviously know who they are. They'll just find ways to win. Like you said, Reed, Mahomes, perfect pairing. As long as they're there, and Kelce and Jones, they'll be fine. The Lions know who they are. And Dan Campbell has done an amazing job going from a backup tight end in one place, including Dallas, to being a head coach who is doing it a very different way. And I love that. Like, I want Mike McDaniel to succeed. I want Dan Campbell to succeed because they're going about it in very different ways than most people do when they're trying to be the head coach of a football franchise. And they have embodied, even when they were losing before they turned it around last year, they were all in on Dan Campbell. And I love that Dan has spilled his staff with a lot of former players. You know, Dan is, to me, the two things that you really need to figure out in life is, number one, know who you are, and number one, know who you're not. And I think Dan knows both of those things, and that's why he's leaning on a lot of these other former players around him on his coaching staff. I really respect that from him, and it's clear that the players respect him with the way they respond to him.
How much interest, we talk about a lot about cards on our show. How much interest in are you investing in Jaden Daniels right now, and how much should the Cowboys fans fear him for the next 10 years?
Well, I mean, I take the Zen philosopher approach on everything. We'll see. But, I mean, I can just tell you what he's done. So, first of all, and I have to tell you, I love this kid. I watched him at Arizona State when he was coached by my dear friend Herm Edwards. And so I've seen him since he started his freshman year. Whatever it is, he's had it for a while. I mean, his first four games, guys, that was the highest completion percentage of the first four games of anyone's over a four-game span since the merger of 1970. That's what we're talking about here. And statistically, last week he had his worst game, and they blew him out. You know, he finds ways to make plays. There will be learning curves. There will be bumps in the road, including, you know, he threw a terrible interception on the goal line last week. But, yeah, I'd be worried. And, you know, I can't say enough about Dan Quinn either. Like, Dan stayed with Dallas probably a year or maybe even 2 years longer than most people would, because he wanted to get back to who he was as a coach after flaming out in Atlanta. You know, he was the DC up in Seattle before that. And I think it really revitalized him career-wise, and I think it revitalized him personally. So, and the pieces he brought with him from Dallas to Washington, they were good pieces, and they're filling in nicely. And, you know, it's also a testament to what we talked about with, you know, the Lions or the Ravens or the Chiefs.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It changed the culture in Washington. The stench of Dan Snyder is finally gone. You have competent ownership. You have competent leadership from the front office, and you have a competent coaching staff. And if you hit on the right quarterback, which it looks like they have, lo and behold, those wins tend to pile up pretty quickly.
Have they changed the stench of the stadium when poo water was coming out of the ceiling on some fans?
It is amazing that once they got rid of Snyder, that stopped, right?
That is weird, right?
It's like a cause and effect thing.
Do Cowboys fans and Lions fans need to block out an extra 30 or 45 minutes this weekend because the Lions are the fourth most penalized team in the NFL? The Cowboys are the fifth most penalized team. This feels like a game where the officials are going to take their camera time.
Yeah, and that's not good if you're a Lions fan, going back to the 2014 playoff game where they picked that flag up.
Yeah.
on that pass interference, that was something. Yeah, I think that you're going to see a lot of yellow flags on the field. Here's the hit, like, guys, when I'm studying for this game, here's the weirdest thing I've come across, and I'd love to get your guys' perspective on it. Yeah. Dak Prescott has a pass rating of 83.8 when not facing pressure, and just for perspective, because the numbers are so weird. It's 158 point something is a perfect number. But that's the third worst. So when the pocket is calm around him, he has the third worst quarterback rating. But when he's facing pressure, his passer rating is 124.5. That is the best among quarterbacks, according to Next Gen Stats. He has four interceptions when not under pressure in 2024. That is the most in the NFL, or tied for the most. And he has five touchdowns and no interceptions when under pressure. That's the best in the NFL. Guys, this should be the opposite way. Like, when you're under pressure and under duress, that's when you should be making these mistakes. He's amazing in those situations. It's when he's not facing the pressure that Dak really hasn't been connecting. I find that the oddest thing I've seen all season long.
He's at his best, Trey, whenever it's single high safety.
Yes.
Whenever it's two safeties back, he really struggles with that. Whenever it's single high and you bring a safety into the box, or you're trying to blitz and you're trying to get down there, that's when he's at his best, because he knows that side of the field I can go to. He doesn't. And what's really interesting to me is he doesn't throw into the pressure a lot. He's a lot of times throwing away from the pressure. And I always felt like quarterbacks were typically throwing into the pressure because that's where the blitz was coming from. But usually he knows what his hot read is somewhere else.
Yep, absolutely. And we will see what happens today. You know, there's all these historical things you can look at. And, you know, I don't care about that. The only thing that I find interesting is that under Campbell, the Lions off a bye are 1-1-1. And for whatever reason, under Mike McCarthy, when the Dallas Cowboys play a team coming off a bye, they're 3-0.
There you go.
That I find interesting.
I'll take that, Kevin.
Do you also think it's going to be interesting when Dan Campbell makes one of the offensive linemen eligible on the first play of the game?
Yeah, and I really, you know, that he really should do that. Like, really, he should do that. Let's be honest. Like, that's something that should happen, because that was a fiasco from start to finish.
I'm not going to count it out. Thank you very much, as always, for the time, good sir. We'll catch up with you later.
You got it. Pre-game power up Monday and Thursday nights, 5 o'clock at DFW time on DraftKings Network.
Network, NFL analyst Trey Wingo, thank you very much, good sir. You just heard the man. 5 p.m. Central Time, NFL coverage on the DraftKings Network. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about some NFL overreaction or reality? Next right here on The Fan.
Minshew looking, throws, intercepted by Surtain. Pat Surtain on the run. Nobody's going to catch him. Surtain going all the way for a Denver touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for NFL overreaction or reality, and I wanted to play that clip so we can go ahead and come out of the gates spicy. NFL overreaction or reality, you wish the Cowboys would have been able to draft Patrick Surtain over Micah Parsons. Now, a lot of discussion for the Cowboys surrounded good old Pat leading into the draft. He went, he was picked number 9 off the board, so the Cowboys went with Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, obviously been awesome, but more and more, I keep seeing people on social media or the fan text or whatever the case might be, that they're like, I don't want to re-sign Micah because of all these different reasons. And then you got Pat running it back for a 100-yard pick 6, and he's obviously been exceptional in his career as well.
He's as locked down as you have in the NFL right now when it comes to cornerbacks. You have a really good cornerback in Trayvon Diggs. Obviously, you got him, was it a year later or a year prior? I can't remember, but you got him in the second round. And that was the CeeDee Lamb draft. I never know. Oh, I guess a year prior. Micah is at his best when he doesn't have to do what he's doing right now. And that is being a defensive end.
Okay.
He's an edge rusher. You need to honestly be a different defense for him to be at his best. And the Cowboys just don't have the personnel to do it. he would be racking up those sacks if you have somebody else that's big that can take on the run next to him. And unfortunately, the Cowboys either haven't seen that or are trying to force a square peg into a round hole. Doesn't make sense to me. Satan is fantastic, though, Kevin. But I don't regret it.
Okay. Alec, overreaction or reality, you wish the Cowboys would have drafted Surtain over Parsons.
I'm going to say overreaction because hindsight's 20/20.
Fair.
And look, you have a wealth of riches if you're comparing apples to apples here with those two players. Like, either way, I don't think you go in the wrong direction taking either one of those players. But I will say that it is kind of nice that it didn't happen just because I was working that draft coverage. And I remember very explicitly that Peyton Russell was working it too. And he tweeted right when the Broncos went on the clock and he tagged them and he said, "You don't have the gall to do it. Go ahead, take Pat Surtain. You won't do it." And about 90 seconds later, they took Pat Surtain and he got eviscerated on Twitter. So we would have never gotten Peyton's like villain arc that started that night. So I'm kind of okay with it. But on a real note, look, they're both really, really top tier players. I would have been perfectly fine with either one of them. I think you were lucky to get Micah Parsons because of the weird off the field stuff at Penn State that might have deterred some other teams in the top 10 from looking at him. You ended up getting an incredible value. Surtain went where he was supposed to.
Yeah.
I just think about how lucky you were that you got the talented player that you got at the pick that you took him at. So all in all, I'm happy with what we got. I say overreaction.
By the way, anytime this conversation comes up, people want to relitigate old draft picks, and there's multiple people who now want to discuss Ezekiel Elliott over Jalen Ramsey. We probably won't do that right now, but perhaps we'll revisit it another.
Could have had Elliott and Ramsey and Derrick Henry. I mean, just don't forget that. Like Derrick Henry would have been later.
Still didn't want Derrick Henry this last offseason, so
because they didn't want to prove themselves wrong from the draft.
Man,
is that?
That Dude. Is a fatal flaw of this franchise.
We don't want to admit to our mistakes.
Yeah, that's why. And they definitely pad the stats. When Steven's like, "Hey, I think we got the highest amount of draft picks that signed a second contract." That's true.
Because you re-sign them.
And a lot of that is earned. But there's definitely a chunk in there that's, "Hey, I'm going to go ahead
Jalen Smith,
and pad
Kevin,
my stats."
He jumped ahead and got the pie.
He did.
Right?
He did. NFL overreaction or reality? The 49ers are going to miss the playoffs.
Oh, overreaction. I think that's an overreaction.
Okay.
Brandon Ayuk is starting to come back into form. I am kind of curious on the CMC front exactly how that goes for the rest of the season. But I mean, Mason's still running pretty strong as well. But that fumble really did kind of, you're like, "Whoa, hold on." But I think that's one moment fumble. And I don't think that's going to happen to him again late in games. Kittle, I did see he's expected to play. They got to get healthy. But I think it's an overreaction.
Something to watch on that.
That division stinks too.
That is true. They have the same record as the Cardinals. The 49ers are already 0-2 in division and 0-3 in conference compared to the Cardinals, who are 2-0 in division. So something.
Nobody's really running away with anything yet in most of the divisions.
No. I think that is very fair to say.
This is a parody league.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality. Alec, I'm going to start with you. I think I know your answer. Brian Flores has been the best assistant coach in the NFL this season.
The boogeyman. This is reality. He has been a phenomenal hire to a team that really, really needed a phenomenal hire because you know that head coaches end up being the scapegoats in the NFL and in pro sports in general. So I was really scared that, especially with the J.J. McCarthy situation, that Kevin O'Connell was going to get side-eyed by his own people. And I think he is an incredible head coach. And whether it ended up with him getting fired this offseason or 2 or 3 years from now, I thought it could have been the makings of a bad ending for him in Minnesota. And I wanted that to continue because I think he is going to be a great head coach for years and years to come. And how do you do that? We talked about it earlier in the show with Aaron Glenn with the Lions. You have a first-year head coach that has no experience. Aaron Glenn, a defensive coordinator that's seen it all. that's done it before, been there, done that. So bring in Brian Flores, who was unjustly removed from his head coaching position and is a quality coach in this league. He has been awesome. I can't think of anybody off the top of the head that is even comparable to him this year.
Now, a couple of things to go along with that, because I think it's really tough to argue against you on this. Vikings are 5-0. They have a top five scoring defense that is second in the league in turnovers forced. And the quarterbacks they face thus far include Brock Purdy, C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love, and Aaron Rodgers. Now, I know we've talked about Aaron Rodgers' fall off, but that's a pretty stout lineup of quarterbacks they've gone up against.
Absolutely it is, man. You're damn right.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Baltimore Ravens will continue to rush for at least 100 yards the rest of the season.
Yes.
Do you realize
reality?
They have 38 consecutive games of running for at least 100 yards. That is tied for the third longest streak in the history of the NFL, tied along with themselves from 2018 to 2021, which means they pretty much had a tiny hiccup or else they'd have like an 80-game streak right now, and the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 1970s.
That is impressive. That is impressive. No, man, it's just the combination of Jackson and Derrick Henry makes me think they can run for 100 yards easy, if not 150, and should be able to average that, if not 200, 250. I don't know, Kevin. Just keep the sky's the okay. limit. As long as Lamar Jackson keeps pushing my fantasy team over the top, what a trade by me.
I'm going to open this up. Man, do we need to have, we do a Forgiveness Friday, do we need to have like a Congratulations Tuesday or something where you're just like,
do you remember how much that day I was stressing over that trade?
I know. I think a congratulatory segment would be like, congratulations to me for, maybe that's kind of what Shout Out Friday is as well.
Thank you note Monday is all Cowboys. Do we want to just open that up for everything?
That's a good point. We definitely could. NFL overreaction or reality. I'm going to open this up to both of y'all. The NFC North is the unquestioned class of football.
Overreaction. Because I don't know if I completely believe the Vikings will keep this up all season. It all hinges on Sam Darnold, obviously. But the Bears, do you believe them?
Do you know every single team in that division has a winning record, has a positive point differential, and they are a combined 14-5?
Well, I guess, I mean, at this moment, they are. And that's all I got to say.
Okay.
Then.
So
at
not,
this moment, right
not
now,
overreaction.
Yeah. At this moment, it's reality.
Okay. Compare that with the AFC South. They have 8 wins.
I just wish, like, I would be more in on it if I was like, I've seen this be the class for a period of time.
Okay. I could see that. Alec, what say you?
For right now and for the fun of it, I'm going to say it's reality because it doesn't feel fluky in any way. Like, you look at this on paper and you think about these teams like this time last year and you say, okay, outside of the Lions and maybe the Packers, if Jordan Love is healthy the entire time, then you're like, the rest is kind of fluky because the Bears, rookie quarterback, they're just not a great team in general.
They just beat the Panthers.
Exactly. And then the Vikings, you're like undefeated, but at what cost? They don't have their real starting quarterback that they thought they were going to have. They lost a couple of pieces. They made a couple of good free agent signings. Yeah, whatever. But I mean, if you watch them, all of these teams seem to somehow be getting better as time is going on, especially the Bears. It seems like they're starting to click.
Caleb Williams keeps going up in the quarterback rating.
We had that conversation earlier this week was, you know, like, do you think Caleb Williams is starting to look like that dude? And it's like, yeah, feels like each week that goes by, he's looking like a number one pick. So I'm going to say this is reality and I'm quite enjoying it.
All right, Alec, I'm going to start with you on this one because Corey agreed with Trey Wingo that we are flawed for thinking this way.
Oh, no.
It hasn't yet, but the Chiefs' red zone inefficiency will eventually cost them. They were 2-for-7 scoring touchdowns on Monday Night Football. They're 30th in the NFL in touchdown to red zone ratio right now.
I'm going to say yes. It's a reality that it's going to catch up to them, but I don't know if it's going to be anytime soon. Because you think about some of the teams that they could bump into at the end of the year or in the postseason. Namely, I think of Baltimore. I think of Baltimore as a serious Super Bowl contender, but what's a knock on them here recently is that, hey, the secondary might not be the best. Mm-hmm. It might not be as good as we thought. Mike McDonald leaving to become a head coach might be a bigger deal than we could have imagined in the offseason. So I don't know if it's going to bite them soon, but I think it will. And I think it might even be as late as the postseason, but some of these AFC teams are struggling with red zone defense specifically. So I think it is going to bite them. I just don't know if it's going to be the next couple of months.
Corey?
Ask it again. I was trying to figure out how to get Derrick Henry in a trade.
And if what? NFL overreaction or reality, it hasn't yet, but the Chiefs' red zone of inefficiency will eventually cost them.
Nah, it's going to be fine. They do enough to win.
I know.
They're going to do some creative play that gets them seven at some point. It's really more about the end of the season than it is right now. Even last season, they struggled early. And then they pulled it off at the end of the year because that's what they do. They're just stacking up wins right now so they can rest in December.
NFL, huh, that is actually really interesting. NFL overreaction or reality, you believed Dan Campbell when he insisted he knew how close the Lions were. So, like, he said last year, hey, we're close.
Okay, they were close to a goal line touchdown. No. I was like, I don't know what I'm missing here.
No, he said they were close. They made it to the NFC Championship game, which must be neat. They were 4-19 in his first 24 games. Now he has a 500 record with Detroit. So they have had a remarkable run. The only team with a better 31-game span than the Lions at 23-8 is,
Cowboys.
Of course, no. Oh. It is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, well,
so overreaction or reality, you believe Dan Campbell then, and you believe him now when he says how close the Lions are.
Well, Kevin, I think you would say it's pretty true on my part because
I do.
You've been calling the Lions my team
for the last
2 years now.
If it's not the Cowboys, it's the Lions.
And so, yeah, Dan Campbell has a style of football that he wants. I mean, I really do believe what he said there, what Wingo said about the identity part of it. Look, we're going to run the ball. We're going to be good at it because it makes tough offensive linemen. They want to put it down. They want to run over you. They want to rote grade. That's what they want to do because that makes them feel good. And when you're picking up yards like that, so that's part of that identity. And then they've grown as a defense. They didn't have everything right out of the gate, but they've been slowly putting it together. And then the part of Jared Goff growing into a leader was something that he needed to do as he broke away from Sean McVay. Sean McVay didn't let him do what he's doing now. And I think Dan Campbell's really he loves what he's seeing out of his quarterback being the leader on that team.
Now, this is a tough one. NFL overreaction or reality, or it's a tough one to get you to buy into. No AFC team that is currently under 500 will make the playoffs. The AFC only has seven teams that are 500 or above. So that would be that they would all make it. And if you disagree, what sub 500 AFC team will make the playoffs?
Oh, man, that's a good. Let me go look at the standings real quick.
We've talked about the Jets. It doesn't feel like the Dolphins have got it.
Clearly, the Dolphins don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
So no.
Cleveland is terrible. Jacksonville is terrible.
I can see the Chargers.
The Chargers are 500, though.
Oh, well, okay, my bad, because they're 2-2. You're right there.
Sub-500 team. Will any of them make the playoffs? I kind of don't think they are.
Okay. One of them will.
Okay, do you have a predictive guess for who that team could be?
The Joe Flacco-led Colts.
Okay, I mean, I get it.
It's really interesting, too, because I want to be like, look at how many points the Bengals have scored. 140 points. They've given up 145. Their defense is terrible.
Yeah.
So I think the Joe Flacco-led Colts would be the one. Now, if they go back to Anthony Richardson, I take it back, Kevin.
Oh, okay. Man, I like that. That is a very specific prediction. Alec, overreaction or reality? If you do think it's overreaction, which sub 500 team are you putting in the playoffs?
You know, Dan Campbell once said this:
a true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
And I concede that I have no idea what the question was. No, I'm kidding.
oh my God.
Totally
I was
kidding.
About to be upset.
I'm totally kidding. I'm going to concede that I have no idea who could, because each team, there's very good reasons why each sub 500 team is where they are at right now.
Yes.
Sometimes you're like, dang, they're just really underperforming. They'll figure it out. No, I don't think any of these teams are going to figure it out in time. I would have told you the Cincinnati Bengals, if maybe they had another win under their belt, they have won. They're too deep of a hole to come back from. I don't think any of these teams can. and the ground that some of these other like premier teams in the AFC are covering to make sure that's going to happen, I don't think that any of these sub 500 teams are going to make it.
I do want to, in this conversation though, the Broncos are 3-2. They've only given up 73 points this year. They've scored 96. I don't know if I believe that that team can, but their defense is so good that I think they're going to be there at the end of the season.
That's above
500 team.
This is going to sound like odd logic. The fact that Bo Nix has been so bad
and they've still won
is why I think they will.
And he's starting to come around.
Yes,
now.
He was better in the last game. Well, obviously it's tough to be worse than the two games before that. So I think he's going to continually to progress. And even if he gets up to, again, like we were talking about the Cowboys rush defense, what if Bo Nix gets to be an average quarterback this year with that defense?
Yeah.
That's a playoff team.
That lands you in a lot of good places.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. A couple of quick notes for you. Rafael Nadal is going to retire from tennis at the end of the season. I would recommend going back and watching the 2008 Wimbledon finals between Nadal and Federer. Still think to this day it is the greatest tennis match I've ever seen in my life. And
can't wait.
A lot, you're not going to watch it. And then sad news, obviously, coming out of a lot of Florida. You've seen the damage. You've seen all the destruction. There's been people who have died. And did you see that the roof at Tropicana Field
got roofed off?
It's essentially gone. Like, I know it says badly damaged. It looks like it's been, at least the covering and everything like that, has been absolutely destroyed.
Was the roof only like a tarp? Is that all it was?
It does kind of feel like that because it looks like there's tarp pieces all over the field. But with the exception of like two sections, every other part of the top of it got ripped off.
That's wild, man. That is wild.
It really, really is.
Is that a good time, though, to be like, all right, we're done with the trop now. We don't need any more of these C rings and D rings up here.
I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know if MLB can get that plan in place quick enough. But if you ever were going to move a team, I know they've talked about that forever. I hope they can fix up their ballpark, and I hope that we got lucky. Alec, I don't know about your sister. My wife said all of her family let her know this morning that they are all safe and they've had minimal damage compared to so many other people in Florida.
Yeah, same on my end for my sister. It sounded like it ended up weakening up at the right time. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, hey, you know, we were supposed to get hit pretty hard, especially some of those wrestlers out there in Orlando in that area.
Yeah.
Around the Performance Center out there. There's a lot of people saying, hey, it was not as bad as we expected. So, yeah, all good on our front.
Absolutely. And now it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Before we get to any of the content, Corey Majors is raising his hand.
Yeah. After Mike says, Alec, you be quiet, is that me laughing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, then follow up. Is that Jared or Will saying it's awful?
I love how many people, especially whenever we have one of them on the phone, so the voice sounds a little bit different, they ask that same question. Like, is that Jared or is that Will? That is Jared.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it was one of those losing Rangers seasons where at the end of the broadcast, you know, we're probably down by like 15. He found a reason to make fun of me for something.
Okay.
I think we were singing, because it was Ruben who sent me that. He had that buried somewhere. I think I was singing something with Jared during a break down the line. And he was like, Alec, that was awful. And Ruben sent that to me. So there's the origins of the intro. But it's time for AM on the FM. Before we get to the question of the day, I want to go back to earlier in the show. We were talking about stars, specifically the Dallas Stars. But buying stars, you can do that, and I think I might buy one for the KNC Masterpiece.
But why?
Starregistration.net, you can buy a standard star for $44.90. Free delivery.
What? Nice. What are they delivering
That's
to
awesome.
You?
Yeah, that's really cool.
You get a free gift of a star map. You get a lifetime registry record. It's visible from your location, guaranteed.
Stupid.
So you can actually see it. You get a gift folder and you get shipping, the electronic files.
The shipping time on that star is immediate too. Like as soon as you buy it, you have it. It's right there. And Kevin, you always have a home if you need one.
Look at that.
For cheap, I
can
bet.
Can you buy a better star for more money? You said your standard star is
there. You can.
Okay.
So Corey talked about wanting a star in a constellation. You can do that. Constellation Star Gift Pack, $66.
Look at that.
Yeah. And you get another free gift. You get a Zodiac pendant based on the constellation that you chose your star to be in. And there's even the Binary Star Gift Pack, where you get to name a system of two very bright stars.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything about it. I want you to be dead serious. You guys, the people on the Twitch, YouTube, fan text, somebody gets you a gift for your birthday, Christmas, whatever, anniversary, and they're like, I bought you a star. What is your honest-to-goodness reaction?
A hug, maybe a kiss on the lips.
Yep.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I'm always honored and privileged.
Wanted a star.
I would tell my wife, you don't know me at all.
That's you? I know me?
Yeah, from the 903, can you sublet your star? I think so.
What?
Yeah. How much did, this is a good question, how much does the North Star cost? Is it already sold or is it, that
you
seems like it's, that
you
seems like it's,
cannot afford that.
That is prime real estate right there for sure.
I'm going to see if I can look into that because
you
can pick your constellations.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can work
having
on that.
Having a constellation seems for $66, that's awesome.
That's a steal if we're being honest.
Yeah. Dude. Nobody's out here selling stars for that little.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't own them.
Is there a big resale market for stars?
Hold on. Why don't you guys sell some stars?
Okay.
What's to stop you from selling stars?
That sounds like a challenge.
Who owns those stars?
I will take you up on that.
I mean, if I buy them all, then I own them.
Okay. And then you're going to resell them? I'm just saying. Are the feds going to show up at your door
because
you've been selling stars?
What is Monopoly about? Having the most real estate.
Uh-huh.
All right? So if I buy all the stars, doesn't matter if I sell them or not, I have them. All right. And then if I need to sell them, I can. That's what it's about. It's like you collecting your cards and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I got cards.
Same thing. It's all a piece of paper.
Yeah.
All makes sense.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what?
See? That cut deep, didn't it? Don't talk about my stars like that, Kevin Hagelin. Don't do it.
If you want to see them at night, you got to pay up.
No, you don't.
People will.
I can see the same stars you can.
Not if I block
if
them
I
from
went
it.
To your house. I realize light pollution and all that.
Yeah, you got to pay to see a lot of things at night. The question of the day today on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. We took a break from it, but we go back to the National Day Calendar where, allegedly, I don't know if I believe it, today is National Walk to a Park Day.
Oh.
So, and it just got me thinking about walking outside in nature and whatnot. So, the question of the day today is going to be, what is your favorite thing, your favorite activity that you do to de-stress, to kind of just decompress?
Oh, getting in the pool.
Oh, that's a good one.
Getting in the pool is always like, I got to just go, I have this, you know, little sitting area that I like to go sit in. I can look straight up in the sky, watch the clouds float by. But the one thing that happens, I want to de-stress. Guess what's happening?
What's happening?
Now I'm looking at that magnolia tree, and I'm like, I got to trim up those leaves. And then I'm looking over here, and I'm like, oh, man, I need to fix this. So sometimes I do re-stress it. But if it's walk to a park day, I wanted to bring this up. I have a park in my neighborhood that we walk to. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is a cool thing. It has a tank in it.
What?
The kids
what?
Get to play on a tank, dude. It's awesome. This is the coolest thing ever. The other day, my wife saw a picture of some other kids, like some family, their kid was playing on a tank. And she goes, that's our park right there. And I was like, damn right it is. No other park has a tank. Your face, other parks.
Is it like a regulation
try to show up to my park. Yeah, yeah.
Tank?
It's a huge tank, dude. You try and show up to my park, you're done for. All right?
What? That tank can't shoot?
It's protecting that park.
If it can shoot, that feels very irresponsible.
Actually, I will say this. All of the access to inside the tank is sealed off. It's been like, what's when you melt metal to metal? What's that called? Not solder. What's it called? Nobody knows. Thanks. Text in. Let us know.
Meld it.
Hop into the. Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
I
hop into the pool
see.
Is my answer to your question, though, Alec.
I play this game on my phone called Penny and Flow, which just puts me at ease because I don't have to think real hard.
Is that a movie about rapping?
No, that's Hustle and Flow.
Gotcha.
Isn't that about a clown that comes out of sewers?
That is it based on Pennywise. Penny and Flow is these two gals who, I don't know, want to date somebody or get married or something while fixing up their house. Look, it goes through all these chapters. I'm to the point where I just skip over all the chapters because I don't really care. And now I see on Facebook, they'll be like, oh, is Penny really going to get married? There'll be like 16,000 comments. It's like, oh my God, Joseph is perfect for her. And I'm like, what? So I just like playing the game.
Everybody's texting in that it's wielding the metal together, Kevin.
I thought wielding is like you're wielding a sword.
Yeah. That's what it says. I mean, look at the fan text. I'm pretty sure it says wielding. Everybody's texting in wielding.
Welded.
Ah, yeah, welding. Oh, my God. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
And don't say you're going to go to a welding this weekend or anything like that. I already know where this is going to go.
The Peyton Manning commercial?
Yes. Okay, I do kind of think that commercial is fun.
I don't know why. This is the deepest cut I think I've ever made on this show, but when Corey was talking about the tank, do y'all remember when Joey kept spamming this?
They got a tank.
They do have a tank.
Is that from Fast and the Furious?
Yeah, the trailer. Okay.
It is so cool. It was one of the coolest things. And all the trees are like cut so that you can really climb up into them. They're really low cut so the kids can start low on it and get up. It's terrifying, though, because once you get up to the top, then you're like, oh, crap, how do I get down? Because you're a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Kids don't know what they're doing.
That's very true. I don't either, and I'm 23.
Let them have a tank.
What I do, and I mentioned this as the question of the day, direct tie to me, is that almost every evening, weather permitting, if I'm not busy, I'll just get up, I'll lace up my shoes, I will grab my AirPods, and I'll go walk around the neighborhood at sunset. Because the sunsets in my neighborhood are crazy because there's like barely any like buildings or tree lines blocking anything. You just get a perfect view out by the lake over by Jopal Lake. So it's just incredible. It's really calming. It's great. Sometimes I'll throw on a podcast. I'll channel flip and I'll listen to, you know, the Fan After Dark here because we don't have baseball anymore. So I'll listen to our guys. Like, it's always fun. It's always great. Sometimes I'll call in and bother them.
Okay.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
I like that. Another thing I like to do is go on walks with Noah as long as I can push him in the stroller because he can walk fine and everything. He's just really slow. So like, I want to get some cardio in and I'm like, I'll just push you in the stroller. You can have some snacks and your juice. Yeah. And then he'll talk the whole time. And so that is pretty relaxing as well.
See, real quick, I love stats. I'm a big analytics guy, and this is the most important set of analytics I've seen in a while. Brian Swain on Twitter says, the New York Mets are 66-38 since Grimace threw out the first pitch. 8-1 at home since the Grimace seat was installed at Citi Field. 4-0 with Grimace in attendance. 2-0 since Grimace got his own train on the NYC subway. Grimace is powerful.
Okay. That whole cast of characters, though, was alarming, right? They had Mayor McCheese, and you wondered, like, could somebody have just ripped off part of his head? The Hamburglar, Ronald McDonald, who I feel like people still have nightmares about, and then Grimace.
Yeah.
The 817 just dropped $10 million, bought every star, selling them for $80. Hit me up.
All right, give me like a DM or an email. I need to get started on my collection, please.
You can just start selling them. Who's gonna stop you?
Apparently, you. You got like some sort of anarchy against my business, man.
I'm not gonna stop you. What's NASA gonna roll up here? And be like, you can't sell that.
214, a tank, but they don't have that in Garland.
They don't. But we have a Sonic where you could get murdered.
Yeah, this
is
true.
We're the KNC Masterpiece.
You have to talk about it.
Right here on 105.
Weird flex, but okay.
Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Let's talk to our friend Kyle Yeomans as we've moved him to Thursdays. Next on The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.